Well, I have a three-point message. Last time I gave a message at First Baptist Church in Coconut Creek because I was rusty after years. I would normally preach, teach 5 to 7 times a week for many years, decades. And when you haven't for 10 years, I ended up with 50 pages of notes. I reduced it to 17 and timed them and said, okay, that's an hour and a half. That's not going to work. The guy says, there's not going to be any people there going to look right in the camera. I've never done that. In the restroom before I went on to the live stream, I said, God, if you want to knock me down now and break my other hip, I'd be willing to take that so I don't have to do it. I looked at 10 pages of notes and I said, you know what? Forget it. I didn't use any of them. And so I'm waiting on God now to bless this time. We're going to look into the Word of God. But the message tonight is sight, fight, flight. And I hope to explain that. Andy read that passage in Hebrews 12. We're going to look at that in a minute. And I want to talk about that passage because it's so dear to think of that. Fixing your eyes on Jesus, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Oh, that's a sight to behold. That's a sight that will capture your heart and the very being of your soul for all of Earth's time, let alone all eternity. Our Lord Jesus Christ, what a blessing. I was sitting on a patio last week, talking with a friend, sharing with him about my relationship with the Lord. Before he came over, I was spending some time in the presence of the Lord. I was looking into the Word of God, into the very face of God. As I was in the Word of God, which always leads me to prayer and time of praise, I was looking at his creation as I was sharing, stunned at his power, his glory, his goodness. As Deb and I have done the better part of 50 years, just spending quality and quantity time alone with God every morning before the dew dissipates in our life. Have you ever seen that? Have you ever started thinking, I'm going to have my quiet time? And then you let it go a little bit. The phone starts ringing, crazy things take place, and the dew is gone. You try to get it back later on the day, but that quiet time, that special time is gone. So I would challenge you in my own heart every day, just get up early, spend time alone with God. Spend time looking into his face, fixing your eyes on him. Our sight, our perspective, where are we at? What are we looking at? What are we spending time doing? I want to do things that count for eternity. Anyway, this friend was on the patio, and before I went out, what I was looking at was a passage in Genesis. Kevin was teaching, and Andy the other week, wonderful messages, and Kevin was talking about Jacob's life that led me into the Word, and I started looking at Genesis 35. You can turn there if you want to, Genesis 35. One through three, and God said unto Jacob, arise, go to Bethel. I love Jacob. He's so much like myself, and I wish I was like Pastor. You'll hear my testimony. You know, came to know the Lord early. Just focus on the Lord. Stayed clean. Moved ahead. No regrets. Man, when you sow, you reap like crazy. I've been reaping for 50 years after getting involved in drugs and heroin and cocaine and LSD and speed for 24/7 for years. You reap. God warns us so we don't have to do these things, so we don't end up reaping. We can reap good things rather than horrible things. Well, anyway, Genesis 3. looking at Jacob. And God said unto Jacob, arise, go to Bethel, the house of God, place where God met him earlier, and dwell there. Make an altar unto God that appeared unto thee when thou fleddest from the face of Esau, thy brother. Verse 2, then Jacob said unto his household and to all that were with him, put away the strange gods that are among you, and be clean. Change your garment. Let us arise. Let us go up to Bethel, and I will make thee an altar unto God, who answered me in the day of my distress, and was with me in the way that I went. The Lord said to my heart, Greg, I delayed your friend's coming yesterday because I wanted you to read this, and I want you to share this particularly with him. This portion right here, the latter part of 3. Build an altar unto the God who answered me in the day of my distress and was with me in the way which I went. I shared this with my buddy. I said, this is what God has done for me. 52 years, he's done that. He answered me in a day of my distress, and he was with me in the way that I went. He's been with me every day. I've 52 years ago and longer, from about the age of 15 on, actually 13, my life was filled. I was separated from God, hellbound, lost in deep darkness, despair. I was actually blind, in bondage, in slavery to many gods. My main God was me. Self-centeredness, really, was what led me into drugs. As a result of that, broken, confused drug addict, I eventually ended up, thank God, in a rehab. But let me back up a little bit. I grew up in a Christian home, sad to say, good Christian home. We had pastors, missionaries, evangelists in our home. They'd sleep there. Lehman Strauss was in our home. I forget, it's just so many evangelists. Jack Worson was in our home. And just, they were neat. But around the age 13, I just thought, I don't know, other people in Hindu families and Muslim families, they think their God's real, and how do I know mine is? I was not born again, and just started drifting and drifting into a life of drugs, life of debauchery, a criminal, separated from God, a horrible, totally estranged from my parents, and ended up in the streets of California, Laguna Beach, working with a crazy man, Timothy Leary, in the 60s. And ended up working with his organization, crazily called the Brotherhood of Eternal Love. And our job was to create, these were chemists that I worked with, and to deal out psilocybin, mescaline, LSD by the tens of thousands of doses. I seen Timothy Leary take a vial liquid LSD. It had to be equal to 1,500 hits, and just take it like he drank a shot. And can you imagine how much confusion? One day I thought, I'm so mixed up on acid, I need to do heroin. And then that was my drug of choice for years. Eventually, I started seeing my friends in jail, insane, locked up, and dead. And I thought, you know what? God was beginning to work in my heart. That's your next appointment. I was in a rehab. I told my shrink, I said, listen, I want to get off of these drugs. Feldy, I know you. You want me to give you methadone so you reduce your drug habits so you can spend less money? No, I said, I don't care where you send me. Went to a psych ward, started on methadrine in there, methadone rather, and it was in there that after about a week, I had these crazy dreams, one dream after another, three dreams in a row. In each dream, I ended up near death. The third night, I was walking through this grain field, I'll never forget it, and the sky was as blue as can be, the trees were green, and then all of a sudden I just saw the sky ripping and tearing, and I just heard trumpets blasting, and I saw light brighter than the sun coming through, and I said, it's too late. It's too late. It wasn't. That day, a street preacher that met me a year earlier just happened to show up that day and share the gospel with me. He said, Greg, would you be willing to believe in Jesus Christ and accept him as your Savior? I said, Max, you don't know how ready I am. Let me tell you, my life changed. Everything changed. I was outside when I received the Lord, and I was looking, and it was like something fell off my eyes, and I looked at the sky. Basically the same kind of sky I saw in the dream, but it was real blue as can be. The trees were green. I thought, I've been blind. I've been set free. This is too amazing. My sins are forgiven. The first thing I thought is I've violated my parents for so long and hurt them. I got to call them up immediately. I call them up. Mom, Dad, you won't believe what happened. I become born again. My life has changed. They were crying on the other end. They couldn't believe it. They had prayed for me for years. So many had prayed for me. It was just absolutely amazing. Immediately, I thought, this is all from God. I thought, man, I'm really dumb. I got thrown out of high school. Well, the principal gave me a choice. Greg, you can quit or get thrown out. Okay, I'll quit. In ninth grade, and I just thought, wow, I'm really dumb. I didn't even know anything. I think I really like to learn. So I went for my GED. I thought, I need to learn the Bible. That much I know. And I need to go to school. And so I started that. And the Lord opened up a door at Word of Life Bible Institute. And Jack Wurson worked in my behalf and allowed me to come up. I didn't quite finish my GED yet, but did eventually. And just studied the Bible for a year. Most wonderful time doing outreach on the weekends, outreach all summer at their camps, one-on-one, evangelism, discipleship, wonderful time. And then so God led us to Word of Life, then Lancaster Bible College. I met my wife at Lancaster Bible College. I'd said to God the year earlier, Lord, if you want me to be a celibate, I'm willing to do that. And so when I was at Lancaster Bible College, I was committed to that until one day Deb came on campus and I saw her from a distance and I said, Lord, I think you're giving me a new message now. I think you're telling me it's okay to get married because I think I see my wife over there. And we started dating right away. We mutually fell in love around the fact that we love the Lord. We both love the Lord. You got to hear Deb's testimony sometimes. So fantastic. Just from a chick track found on her car. The Lord is so good. So anyway, we ended up going to Lancaster Bible College, Millersville University, Bob Jones University. At Bob Jones, I had an interesting experience. Well, a lot of them. One of them was I spent more time at the Dean of Men's office than I did in the classroom. They said, your hair's too long. I said, I just got it cut. It's too thick. Wait a minute. And so I was there all the time. Then our son, our oldest son, was born there at Barge Memorial Hospital on campus. He's a real fundamentalist. No, he's not. And when I came there, I was doing a paper route, and I came late. My wife was in labor, but she was in labor like 2-3 times, and the lady, the nurse, brought the child up that was just born to the door and said, "Here he is." I said, "Does my wife know?" She says, "No what?" Yoda the Hutt? Something went wrong. Was it the drug? She says, "What are you talking about?" I said, "Something's wrong. I never saw a baby. All I knew were Gerber babies." She said, "This is the way a baby looks." So, oh, thank you, Lord. It was like a miracle. The grace of God. Anyway, so I want to talk about, I want to first share with you this. When this minister came, he shared with me the gospel, and he shared this with me, some of these verses. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. They missed the mark. I recognize that. You don't need to be on drugs to understand we all miss the mark. For the wages of sin is death, physically and spiritually, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Romans 5, 6 through 9. For when we were yet without strength in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. That's important to realize, that we're ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commended his love towards us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us, much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. We went from our ministry and youth pastorates in two normal churches into the inner city. We moved in the inner city after reading Hudson Taylor's Spiritual Secret and George Mueller of Bristol. And we moved in the inner city by faith totally. We said, if God did it for these guys, he can do it for us. We moved in there within the first year that we were there, the second year, our son was beat up by a group in front of our house, basically left for dead. We came out and intervened. There was about 100 kids there. We picked them up. Our son Matthew was unconscious. And I said to the Lord, I said, God, you can take me, but don't you take my son. Matthew, John, gift and gracious gift. God said in my heart, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. God gave his Son. He gave his Son for our salvation. What will we do with that? So important what we do with that. Another verse you can turn there if you want to, Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. For by grace you're saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. We can't earn our salvation. Jesus has paid our debt on the cross. He took all our sins on his body. He exchanged our sin for his righteousness. He took all the wrath of God fired down on him that was due us for our sin. And then he rose again from the grave. He secured our salvation. If you're here tonight, if you're listening here on live stream, I pray that you would understand God's love for you, that he wants you to be born again, that he died, that you can live eternally with him. What a blessing it is to know the Lord. In Hebrews 12, it says, wherefore, seeing also we are compassed, 12, 1 through 3, about with a great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and every sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race set before us, looking unto Jesus, fixing our eyes on him, the author and finisher of faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. He arose and he ascended. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, let ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Where's your eyes today? I don't know. My eyes tend to wander, like sometimes to conservative news outlets. And I'm thinking about Ukraine. We all should be. Sometimes I think about the White House. Then I get real depressed. Then sometimes the news. But you know what? If you begin to look horizontally rather than vertically and fixing our eyes on Jesus, we can go down like Peter. We need to constantly, how do we do that? We need to daily be in the Word of God, in our quiet time, spending time alone with Him. This is how we meet Jesus. It's through the Word of God. Spending time with Him. It's such a joy to know Him. We should definitely be praying about all these things. We should be concerned, but we need to, first of all, fix our eyes on the Lord. Our hearts should be fixed and preoccupied with Jesus. Psalm 34:5 says, they looked unto him and were lightened. They were radiant and their faces were not ashamed. Where is our sight? We need to focus on Jesus. Once we do that, friends, if you're a believer here tonight, then there's a fight. There's a fight ahead of us. I was reading this in Numbers the other morning. And the Lord spoke to Moses, is Numbers, I believe, 31:1. And the Lord spoke unto Moses in the wilderness of Sinai, in the tabernacle of the congregation. And he says this, take every male, 20 years old and upward, all that are able to go forth to war in Israel. And Moses numbered them. Then they go through each tribe and talk about, they numbered them, those that were prepared for battle. These things that are written in the Old Testament minister to us regarding the New Testament. They reveal things to us here. What is he trying to say? You know, in the old days at church, we'd sing, Onward Christian Soldiers. That's not sung too much in churches today. It is here, I'm sure. We need a fight. We need to understand we're going forth to war. This is polar opposite to the overwhelming message of the church today in our country. It's mainly saturated with psychobabble. What can God do for me? He is my heavenly genie. Rub him the right way, voila, you get health, wealth, power, position, influence, popularity. No. It's not Jiminy Cricket for those that are older. Zippity-doo-dah, zippity-day. My, oh my, what a wonderful day. Plenty of sunshine heading my way. Zippity-doo-dah, zippity-day. But the problem with that philosophy and what's taught in many churches today, particularly on TV, is it's in flat-out contradiction to the Word of God. Because the Bible and your own experiences, sometimes it's not sunshine. Many times it's heartbreak, it's trauma, it's hurt, it's desolation, it's fractures in relationships, it's financial friction, it's emotional collapse, it's depression. Why? Because of sin. When sin entered the world, death also entered into the world, and the Bible calls it the law of sin and death. That's really what the Bible teaches. In Romans 5:12, wherefore as by one man, Adam, sin entered the world, and death by sin, so death was passed upon all men, for all have sinned. Do we understand contagious now? Through Adam, we all sin. We understand contagions now through COVID. One person, possibly, in one lab in Wuhan, China. So what? Well, think about its multiplication. Think about its implications. Think about its consequences. You know what's worse than that? sin. It doesn't infect 97% of the world's population. It's infected the whole world. And the death rate is 100%, not only physically, but spiritually. Can you imagine spiritually dead? When I came to know the Lord, and every day, you know what? When I came to know the Lord, that was fantastic. That's nothing compared to what I experience every day. Every day, because I have life, I'm connected to the living vine. Every day, my life is fantastic in the Lord. In spite of hardship, in spite of physical problems that I go through every day, I am connected to the Lord Jesus Christ. I know him as my Savior. I know him as my friend. I talk to him as a friend every day. He speaks to me every day through the Word of God. I go to bed at peace. I wake up at peace in the morning. I wake up in the morning with a song on my heart. I didn't have that. It was so empty, so dark. Jesus saved me, man, but that's just the beginning. When you know Jesus, we should be growing in our relationship. Our life should be dynamic. We're connected to the living head. Is that your experience? Because many Christians I interact with, and we interact with hundreds, I don't see that much. I pray that tonight for all of us, we can grow in our love for God. Getting serious, can you look around this world, Christians? You know the sign of the times. You see what's going on. Jesus is returning any day. Are we ready to meet him? Are we busy sharing the gospel with other folks? I want to see other folks go to heaven. My heart is broken about people in our own neighborhood, in our family, that don't know the Lord. I want them to enjoy what I have in God. What a joy it is. Fight. We're looking at fight. And we'll soon be looking at flight, because my time is quickly flying away. Listen to this verse. No, things are not zippity-doo-dah, because God's words doesn't say that it is. This is what Job said. He can speak with authority. Yet man, Job 5:7, is born under trouble as sure as sparks fly upward. You ever wonder what? Is this second law of thermodynamics just working in my life? No, it's a law. It's happening across the world. Entropy. Things are going from order to disorder, to chaos. Have you ever noticed that in your hearing, your sight, your health, your car, your home? Yeah, because of sin that's in the world. Man is born into trouble. Sparks fly upward. David said this, "For I acknowledge my transgressions. My sin is ever before me. Against thee, thee only have I sinned after a sin with Bathsheba and Uriah the Hittite, and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me." Many times, not only in the world, but in the church, in our country, it has radically changed that message about sin. It's not all about me. It's all about him. It's all about God. Are we serving the living God? We should be servants for him, the Lord Jesus Christ. Others, not our own self. We should be thinking of others, just like the Apostle Paul did, given over his life. Now think of this regarding this fight. From whence come wars and fighting among you? Come they not hence, even from your lusts that war in your members? Ye lust and have not, ye kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. Ye fight and war, yet have nothing. You know what? First of all, there's war within our own members. There's conflict. We want something, we don't get it. We shouldn't be like that as believers. We should give these things to God. We should be seeking His kingdom. And the very things that we need, God will grant them to us. 1 Peter 2:11, "Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts, which war against the soul." We're at war with passions that war against us. Romans 7:23, "But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members." Galatians 5:17 says, "For the flesh lusts against the spirit against the flesh. These are contrary to one another, so that you cannot do the things that you would." Last generation has had problems with evil due to this generation we're in right now, due to its humanistic, evolutionary, anti-scriptural view. Therefore, an anti-Christian perspective in our world. Kind of like, you're okay, I'm okay, let's all get together. Growing up in the 60s, the Youngbloods sang this song. "Come on, people, now, smile on your brother. Everybody get together. Try to love one another right now." Yeah, try to do that, but how's it working out in our world? I don't see it happening. It can't happen apart from the rule of the Lord Jesus Christ here on earth during the millennium. How'd that work out in the inner cities? Think of San Francisco, Chicago, Philly, New York City, Portland, Seattle. Listen to this. Wikipedia said this about Haight-Ashbury in San Francisco. That was the hippies' mecca years ago. "The Haight-Ashbury district was sought out by hippies to constitute a community based upon the counterculture ideals, drugs, and music. This neighborhood offered a concentrated gathering spot for hippies to create a social experiment that would soon spread throughout the nation." I was talking to a guy this week. In fact, I invite him into my house, and he goes, "You know what? I was with some other older folks today." And he says, "You won't believe how many elderly are eating gummies, brownies, oils, etc." I said, "What do you mean, weed?" He says, "Yeah, marijuana." And I thought to myself, that culture that we spawned in the 60s has come full bloom in our country today. And basically what it is, it's turning our backs on Almighty God, living for ourselves. And the more you live for self, the more empty you become, the more need you need to fill yourself with substances. We don't want to be like that. Last point, flight. Flight. We are taking off soon. The rapture. To be gathered with the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're a believer, we should be looking for that. We should be expecting that. Remember what Jesus said regarding the last days, particularly our ascent with him into the clouds. "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with them. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that those who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord shall not prevent or precede them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words." Are you ready for the Lord to come back? This is the most exciting time to be alive in this world, to realize we're in the middle of birth pangs before the tribulation period. We can see the long shadows already stretching here, where a global government has to be formed. Someone has to lead us out of the political and moral, just the chaos, the financial chaos that we are involved in our world globally. Someone will arise. Not Christ, Antichrist. energized by the devil himself. We are nearing those days, but thank God, if you're a believer, if you're not, I would encourage you to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ today. We don't know when the Lord will return. You don't know how long you have to live. You have no idea. When we were in our ministry in Philadelphia, we had 8,000 young people come in over an 18-year period in our ministry that we trained in urban evangelism. God bless that ministry. Many of those folks turn into missionaries, pastors, teachers, to just take a bunch of kids out in the street and share the gospel, share it with prostitutes and johns and drug addicts, every kind of sane and crazy person that was out there. Those kids' lives changed as they shared the gospel with lost folks. One night, we were down in the ghetto and we were living there. I began concerned. I think it was within a couple of weeks. I thought, Lord, you know I'm crazy, and you know that's why I came out by faith here and trusted you, but I'm now fearing my wife and daughter could be raped here. We could all be killed. I get a call. Hey, could you check Chuck, our apartment next door? He was a drug addict, crack addict, big guy, football player. Crack hadn't wrecked him yet. And he said, I said, sure. And we go into the apartment. She said, check and see if the TV's there. No, it's not there. I gave him money to go to the dry cleaner. I called up. He never arrived. Little did she know, her car was gone. He had sold that for crack. She said, I think he's coming to see you. I'm just new in the ghetto. I mean, to minister down there. I open up this big bar gate that we had to keep grime at bay. We had razor wire around the whole perimeter of our roof, iron grates that would go down at night. Our home was an appliance store, used to be an appliance store in the middle of the ghetto. This big guy comes in. I give the keys to my kids by mistake. And he comes in, and I was thinking, he's here for counsel. I said, Chuck, what are you doing? What are you doing? You're really blowing it, man. Your wife was counting on you. He was like a robot. He was in a dupe daze. He just went like this and took like a Jim Bowie knife and just came right on top of my head. I grabbed his hand and I realized in that moment of time, I don't have enough strength in all my hands, feet, and teeth to move one of this guy's fingers. In that moment of time, I don't even know how time, so many things passed through my mind. I said, Lord, my Deb, the kids, Matt, Aunt Rachel, what? You'll take care of them, Lord. You'll take care of them. I didn't even pray, Lord, help me, save me. I don't even know what happened. And all of a sudden, his hand comes down. And he's standing there like in a daze. Matthew, Anthony, get me the keys. They came in the second door, bring me the keys. They don't even know his knife is there. I get the keys, open the door, and let him out, lead him by the hand to his apartment. But that moment when that knife was above his head, let me tell you, you know you have a living Savior when that happens. Because what happened, when he let his hand go down, I almost fell over because I had so much peace, like waves coming over me. I thought, Lord, I'm coming home. You'll take care of the kids. I'm going to be in your presence any minute. Oh, thank you, God. I love you. God spared my life. That was like a tremendous assurance to my heart. This being born again is real. Do you have that assurance tonight? Do you have that faith in God to know if you were to die tonight, you would not stand before God in terms of judgment, going to hell, but you can stand in his presence, radiant, loving him. Oh, I pray you have that assurance tonight. I'm going to ask Andy to come up and close in prayer. Before he does, I want to read this. This came to my heart as I was concerned about speaking. I used to speak many times every week, but I got rusty last year or so, and I was scared. This song bubbled up in my heart. Without, Spirit of God just does it. Far away in the depths of my spirit tonight rolls a melody sweeter than psalm. In celestial-like strains, it unceasingly falls over my soul like an infinite calm. Peace, peace, wonderful peace, coming down from the Father above, sweep over my spirit forever, I pray, in fathomless billows of love. Do you have that peace tonight? Do you really know if something were to happen to you, or God forbid, our country comes under attack? Think of the people in Ukraine. Do you remember the day before the attack in Kiev and the other cities? It says they were just going about doing their thing like nothing was going to happen. Think of where they're at today. Thank God for missionaries, pastors, teachers reaching out to them with the gospel of Jesus Christ. We don't know what holds. We do not know what the future holds, but we know God holds our future. Are you willing to trust him tonight? If you're a believer here, are you totally committed and sold out for Jesus Christ? That's what he wants us to be. He doesn't want us to be lukewarm. You know the church of Laodicea, what he does with them. He wants us to be red hot for him. If you're living in compromise, take this time to repent, to confess it before God, to ask God to use you. He wants to use you today in these last days. Love you guys. Pray for many of you every day. God bless you.
Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much again tonight for this wonderful and blessed testimony, both of Brother Greg and his wonderful wife, and also of your faithfulness to us, what we have in your Son, what you will do for us, and what you expect from us to present our bodies a living sacrifice. Why? Because it is our reasonable service. Help us redeem the times, Lord, because the days are evil. They are evil, but you said that in the world we will have tribulation, but be of good cheer because you have overcome the world. Help us, Father. Be overcomers tonight. Blessed invitation, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
On behalf of everyone at Beacon Baptist Church, we thank you for joining us today. Our prayer is that your heart and life has been impacted through the biblical truths of this message. If you have questions or would like more information, please contact us through our website at beaconbaptistchurch.org. That's beaconbaptistchurch.org. May the Lord bless you.